Welcome to the Momco Leader Podcast. We believe that life and leadership are better in community. We're here to equip and encourage you as a leader and a mom. We'll talk about real issues and give practical tools to help you grow in your leadership, motherhood, and faith. Hey, everybody, I'm Sherry Crandall, and I'm your host for this exciting episode. I'm really so honored to have the opportunity to have a conversation today with Catherine Wolf. Many of you know Catherine from her MomCon Mainstage talk that she did with us a few years ago, but today we're going to dive a little bit deeper into her story and hear about her firm belief in hope. Welcome, Catherine. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry. I am so grateful to be here. Honestly, way back at least 12 years ago, I began speaking and sharing at MOPS groups. I lived in Los Angeles at the time, and I think between 2010, maybe 2011 and 2013, I spoke at 12 different MOPS groups, if you can believe it. So I'm a big fan.
Oh, that's so fun to hear, because honestly, a lot of our moms begin, those that carry on and do like speaking engagements or writing books, they often begin speaking at the local group. So that's really fun that you share that too.
Oh my goodness, it's a huge part of my story, because I was a young mother when I had my stroke, and motherhood has seemed just a big part of my story. It made so much sense to speak to groups of young moms, and it just really resonated. It definitely propelled me from those early speaking days of just honing my craft a bit to speaking more and more and more.
That's amazing. I began the same way, speaking at my local MOPS group. And
yeah,
I just think it gives just a beautiful way to share your message, because you have an audience that immediately you connect with, because mothering is a universal language, right? And we all connect as moms. So
absolutely, yes.
Well, okay, friend, you have a new book coming out, and it's going to be out in just a few days after this episode is released. And
yes,
it's titled Treasures in the Dark. And I want to read something that you wrote. You say this: if you've spent 24 hours on Earth, you've probably figured out that this place can be a little dark and sometimes pitch black. Yet none of us signs up for suffering. Nobody wants it. Maybe that's why we tend to be taken by surprise when tragedy or trouble comes our way. Wow, I thought that was so true. And Catherine, would you share with us the trouble that came your way April of 2008?
Absolutely. I was a completely typically able-bodied person with no medical history, no family history, no indications that anything was wrong. And I woke up one day as a 26-year-old young wife and new mother with a 6-month-old baby asleep in the next room, who I'd had biologically, naturally 6 months before, actually. And I ended that day having had a massive brainstem stroke and very nearly died. And they operated 16 hours through the night to keep me alive, and in so doing had to remove 60% of my cerebellum in my brain and remove, injure permanently, take out several intracranial nerves, including the auditory nerve, so I'm deaf in one ear, and the facial nerves, so I'm paralyzed on one side of my face. And most significantly, they had to dramatically remove things in my brain in particular, which meant I could no longer balance. So I'm now a wheelchair user, and my eyes don't track. I can't drive a car, and I have a number of pretty significant impairments as a result of the surgery. But obviously, they were able to keep me alive. And, you know, I've really been on the journey to wrap my mind around this, but the way I've landed is that in the deep wounding, there came healing. And my physician had to wound me very greatly and make sacrifices to keep me alive. But I'm here and I am alive and I am in the story, even with some permanent wounds. I still get to show up for my life. So I'm incredibly grateful. And it's been a long journey. I would take multiple years to relearn to walk, kind of again, to stand up, to speak, to eat food. And it's been, pretty difficult. I've had 13 surgeries in these last nearly 16 years. And it's been hard, but it's also been amazing. I've gone on to have a second biological child, John, who's now 8. And my husband and I founded a camp, and our ministry will be opening in just a few days, actually, a new coffee shop concept in Atlanta, employing people with disabilities. So
Well,
it's a dream.
I read that about the coffee shop and I'm so excited. I hope to get to Atlanta by the end of the year. So if I do, I will come and see you at the coffee shop. That would be amazing.
I would love that. Come on, come on. It's going to be amazing.
I just all the things that you just shared, I think one of those, like just having the stroke, but knowing in order to save your life, you said something, he had to wound me like greatly in order
Yeah.
for me to survive. I think that's what I've always loved when I first met you and listened to you speak and have read your books and follow you on social media like many of our audience do. I am amazed frequently by how you do show up in hope because I think a lot of people would say, okay, enough. I can't do that anymore. I'm just not going to do that. And you also
I
have said something really profound that I read recently, and you said this. You said that your darkest days of suffering were teaching you things that a pain-free life never would have.
exactly.
So, can you tell me, like, after everything you just shared that you've been through, that feels very overwhelming,
Right.
but yet you're talking to me today saying, if it wasn't for those things, I wouldn't be who I am. What
100%.
are some of those things? And expand on that a little bit for me.
Absolutely. But one of the greatest things I feel like that the suffering and the life that is not pain-free have really taught me is how much I do have control over the what now. That's such a crazy thing to say, because we know we're not in control. We're not in control of things that happen to us in life. We do not control that. That's an illusion. However, we do have complete control over what now, how we respond, how we move forward, how we think about it, how we narrate it to our children. We have complete control over so much of the narrative and of how we feel. No one gets to tell me how to feel about this story. I get to decide that. And that is so important and powerful and biblical that we are the storyteller of our lives. And we get to tell our brain how we feel about the story that God is writing. And that is so important in how we cope in our stories. Another thing that I really feel like my husband and I both came to after such significant suffering was recognizing how important it was to equip our children realistically for what life will be like. And I feel like your listeners are on the same quest, no doubt. How do we equip our children and yet not make them jaded or make them full of dread or despair about the future, but how do we realistically prepare them and equip them for what is to come and give them a picture of bright hope in the future, that Jesus is in the future, that God has a beautiful story that he's writing in our lives. And where we landed was very frequently saying to them that God made you to do the hard thing in the good story that he's writing through your life. And we say that a lot around our house, that God made them to do hard things. Yes, but ultimately it's a good story that he is writing and it can be trusted. So lean into the story, the hard, the not pain-free, the suffering parts, but do not ever live with despair because God somehow, some way is writing a beautiful story through your life.
Oh, that's amazing. I had attended a seminar years ago, and it reminded me of this gentleman who was speaking. And to be honest with you, I don't recall his name, but he shared that he had lost his wife, his mom, and his
Oh, Jerry
daughter.
Fitzer, Jerry
Yes.
Sister. Yes. Oh, I read A Grace Disguised After My Stroke and it rocked me. Yes, totally.
And it just reminded me right now as we're talking, and he talked about how we in our humanness cannot see the full story. Like
Oh,
because we're human. And so when we look at the painting of our life, so to speak, we
right.
might only be focused on this little corner that shows a desert or a dead tree or whatever that is. But when you take off the big covering of the painting, it's so beautiful. And sometimes we focus on just the corner that we can see. And I just would never forget that. And as you were talking, I was just thinking that because what I love about you, Catherine, is that you're not saying everything's great and I'm so, thankful and God is good and you can do this. You're acknowledging like I was angry, I was sad, this was hard, or it still is. And I think that our listeners need to hear that sometimes these difficult places, it's just hard and it's okay. It's your story. And it's okay to say, I'm angry, I'm sad, it's hard. But yet
Yeah.
you get to narrate like your own story.
I can't tell you, Sherry, how special it is. You brought up Jerry Sitzer. He has personally inspired me so deeply. And obviously, so much of my thinking, yes, I'm sure, is deeply informed by his beautiful words. So much so that I have a podcast called the Good Hard Story Podcast. And I actually interviewed him a couple months ago on the podcast. And my husband and I wrote the foreword for the 25th anniversary edition of his book, A Grace Disguised, that really is about losing his mother, wife, 2-year-old, all in a car wreck by a drunk driver. And it is, you're exactly hitting it. You remember it perfectly that your life is a story that God is writing.
It's amazing. And I apologize. I could not remember his name and how beautiful that you're so connected to that. So I think that was really a special moment right there.
That really is. I deeply love that you said his name. He is a true celebrity. You know, in a world full of like ridiculous celebrities who are famous for doing nothing on YouTube, Jerry Sitzer's a hero. Johnny Erickson Tada is a hero. Mark it down. There are real heroes, and then there's everybody else trying to be famous.
I couldn't agree more with you. Our audience can't see us, but I can look at you. And I was saying, too bad they can't see you because you look so cute today.
Oh, you're so sweet. You too.
Catherine's wearing this really cool sweatshirt that says hope. And
Yep.
so much of what you do, your ministry is Hope Heals and all of the things that you've written about hope and your podcast. But this hope is something that the MomCo is really embracing this year. We will have, once this is released, the whole world will know what our theme is. Today they don't, but by the time this aired, they will. And our theme this year is Wild Hope.
I love that.
So
What a great
no,
name.
right? So nobody better to be
Oh.
talking to our audience about hope.
I want to come. When, where is it and when is it?
MomCon's in Denver this year, and it's in
Okay.
October, so you're always welcome to be a part of
Well, yeah, maybe I can get there.
What I want to ask you though, because hope is a big word, and I think sometimes it feels unattainable, or it feels like that's just what Christian people say, like, oh, you've got to have hope, or I have hope. And you've really embodied, like, in a tangible way, this word hope. It's not just a word to you, it's a way of life. And I would love for you to tell our audience, like, what does hope mean to you?
Oh, yeah, goodness. I deeply love the Philip Yancey quote that hope is believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. And that has been such a comfort, as I may not understand, but I hope, I believe in advance what I will only understand in reverse. And I love the passage in Romans 5 that suffering produces perseverance, character, ultimately hope, and hope will never put us to shame. And I just see it so beautifully that hope is what we cling to. It anchors us. It's an anchor that is firm and secure, it says in Hebrews 6. And it's the rock, it's the foundation from which we can go because we are so safe and secure in Him.
Oh, that's so good. It's so true. And as I said, honestly, it's not just a word, it is really your way of life. And that's very apparent. And I really want this year for our moms and our leaders to embrace the fact that not only can they have hope, but they can have wild hope because of who Jesus is in our lives.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I agree.
So, in order to live out this theme of wild hope, we always come along our theme with tenets. And tenets is just a fancy way of letting our people know that we're going to practically live this out. And so, the first tenet this year will be open to receive. And our corresponding verse for that comes from Mark 10:51, and it's where Jesus specifically is asking the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? So I want to ask you, Catherine, living with physical difficulties, as you've just explained some of those things, how have you had to embrace this idea of being open to receive, not only from God, but from your husband, from people outside of, like, maybe even your comfort zone at times? How have you embraced being open to receive, and why is that even important?
Oh yeah, goodness. I love this thought that when we are opening our hands, it is to receive and to release to God, because the reality is we don't know the story. So we might as well give it up and be open to whatever God has for us. I think so much of life is about learning to be emotionally agile and to pivot into the story that God is writing, to not be so wedded to it has to look the way I thought it was going to look in order to experience any joy in life, but instead, like, pivot, go the way. You know, I believe there are no such thing as detours in life, that we can pivot and go, and okay, this was unexpected, but I trust God so much that I trust His plan for my life, and the story is unfolding, and he's writing it, and I trust him so I can live into the story. And that means pivoting into the story.
And so that's really opening yourself to receive not only what God is giving you, but
Yes.
also what other people are, like, giving or helping. I think we all, it's so good to know. And this is what I love about the MomCo, is that it's community. Like, we just
Right.
do better as humans in community. God created
Oh
us
my
to be in
goodness.
community.
Absolutely. The reality is that they say that pain really becomes suffering when we do it alone. when we don't have any shoulder to lean on, people with us in life, that we can bear things for a long time when we bear them together, makes life so much less hard. We are communal beings. God created us to be in community with each other and healing each other's heads and hearts by listening empathetically and being the hands and feet of Jesus to each other and showing up and processing our stories and our pain and giving each other hope when maybe we don't feel hopeful right in that moment.
You know what I think is so hard, especially for whatever reason, but I think women struggle with this a little bit more. We're doers and we're caregivers, and so we're helping everyone else, but it's hard for us to be receivers.
Right.
So what would you tell our listeners today? Like, why is it important to allow yourself to receive?
Oh my goodness. Here's the thing, regardless of what we are capable of doing, what abilities our body has or doesn't have, whatever our situation, if we are incredibly emotionally fragile today, if there's just some really horrible, hard stuff happening in our story, and we need care, whatever the reason, we're worthy of care because God shows us that. We would not be on earth if we were not. If I was not worthy to be taken care of my entire life by my husband and a slew of friends and family, then I would not have breath in my lungs. God has purpose for my life. And the same is true for every single one of your listeners and every person on earth. If they weren't supposed to be here, they would not be here. God wants them on this planet right now. He's given them breath in their lungs and the ability to get out of bed this morning. And if other people are called into the story to help that person do life, they're called for a reason. I mean, my husband feels it a calling to take care of me day in and day out because God has seen fit to call him to do that. And I think we have to get our minds around that differently. Everybody feels so, and even in the Christian community, so tragically, so many times, there's so much insecurity around our needs and relying on other people. And we value independence so deeply. And that is just not the Christian way to live. We need each other so deeply. And goodness says, I don't know if the mom co is specifically young mothers. I think it is. I can extend to many groups I've spoken to have mothers of high schoolers in it. So definitely not. But I know at least for some of the mom groups I've spoken to, it was largely mothers with toddlers or very young children. And that is a ministry because those women are so isolated and at home with nursing babies and not a lot of outlets. And they need people so desperately. We all need people so desperately to speak into the story and let them in.
We do. And when we did our rebrand and changed our name from MOPS to the Mom Co, one of the reasons why we did that is because we have groups all over the world that it's no longer just if you have a baby or a toddler, but it is those elementary age. It is when you have high schoolers. And then as you get older, it is your responsibility to help pour back into the younger moms when you have older children. And quite honestly, my friends, we all now have young adults, so college age, kids. And
Yeah.
that has its own challenges, right? And so I
I
don't,
bet. I bet it does. Oh, yeah.
you don't ever outgrow the need for community.
No, you do not. Well, so interestingly, so I had James, my older son, right before my stroke. So he's now 16 years old. But then I've gone on to have a second miracle baby, John, who's now 8 years old. So I have a 16-year-old and an 8-year-old. So I am in two very different places in terms of my motherhood as well. The teenager and then the elementary child have very different needs, and I need different kinds of support for both.
Agreed. I have four kids, and from my oldest to my youngest is 10 years apart. So it was I was doing like prom and preschool graham cracker things, all at the same time.
Oh my goodness. Yes, it's a lot.
It's a lot. Well, our second tenet is build endurance. And you touched on this because our corresponding verse is from Romans 5, 3 through 5.
Oh,
And
yeah.
you had just said, it is this suffering that produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And it's in that that we find hope. And I honestly think so often when you really pay attention to scripture, it is this formula for life. It is this formula that God tells us we will have suffering. It's not if we will, but we will, because of a fallen world. We all have suffered various things in various degrees. So there's suffering, but when we learn to persevere and endure, that does build our character. Like you just told me, you're a different person and actually love the person that you're becoming, but so much of it has been based on your hardship. And I know for me personally, as I get the opportunity to travel the world and talk to our leaders and our moms, I don't think I relate to people out of anything that I'm good at. Okay. But it's actually out of the tough things that I've gone through or have endured that makes me more relatable. So I think when we can be open in sharing that builds our character, and together we can find hope.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah. So for you to be able to share the tough things, even though your suffering is different than what I've suffered through, it's still each person has suffering, so they can relate. And I'm hoping as we continue to show up in the world, and we just now are in 102 countries as of last
My
week.
goodness, that is so cool. Oh my gosh. And it's called Mom Cove now. See, I'm still
Yes.
stuck
I
in
know.
years ago moms, but no, we're Mom Cove. Awesome.
We are the Momco. We're in 102 countries. And you know what? There's a lot of suffering in the world.
Oh goodness,
And I want our women to know that they can find community, that they can share about their suffering, and that they can find hope. And that's what we're bringing to the world, is that there's hope found in a relationship with Christ. And as I said, each person's suffering will be different, but if we can be vulnerable with what that is, we can collectively share it. And having someone be a friend of ours, like you, Catherine, who can share what you have suffered through or what you currently are struggling with, but yet still bring hope, that's the whole message. That's why I'm so happy that you're with me today.
Oh, you are so wonderful, Sherry, and I could not, agree more with all of that.
Well, our last tenet for the year, which I also think that you embody really, really well, comes from Jeremiah 29:13, was our inspiration. And it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And so our third tenet is to live passionately. And I think it's a choice. I mean, you said you have to tell your brain, that's what you do. You're telling your brain that I'm going to choose to live passionately. So in this journey that you've had the last 16 years, Catherine, like when did you decide, I'm just going to live passionately despite this difficult circumstance? When did you make
I love to tell anyone who will listen that it wasn't like I got out of bed the morning after my stroke and was like, oh, great. I can't wait to start a ministry and write books and speak. I spent the first 5 years after my stroke just wondering how I'm going to do this life, how I'm going to get out of bed in the morning and move forward and take care of this baby and, what's this going to mean? I don't fit in this world. My body doesn't work. I can't drive a car. I'm in a wheelchair. How could I live this way? So most definitely, it's not like, yay, woohoo, let's do this. But in time, and much time sometimes, you get there. You know, I'm a firm believer that before you can accept your circumstances, you must allow your circumstances to break your heart and completely bewilder you, where you're going, what just happened? I cannot believe this is my story. But then once you're really processing it and letting your heart be broken, then you can recognize, oh, wait, God is doing something here. God is doing something new here. What am I going to do with what remains in the story and how I'm going to champion it? And so I love your tenet of living passionately, because that is so desperately what our world needs. People living passionately into all of the callings that God has given them. And I think that always means dreaming new dreams for our lives, not being wedded to the old dreams from when we were 5-year-old little girls, but the big girl dreams. Okay, this is where I am in my life, and this is what God has placed in my hand, not her hand and not what I thought, but this right here. This is what I'm going to champion and steward and leverage to the glory of God. And it's not everything. No. And it's a drop in the bucket. Absolutely. But it's my drop. It's my unique drop in the bucket that God has given me to champion. And I will.
Well, and such a good point. Like, it's not what's in my hand versus your hand, because we each get a drop in the bucket, right?
Absolutely. Oh, it's equitable there. And the irony is, we're so busy looking around at each other's drops in the bucket. We're obsessed with her life and her story. And why does that matter? We live with such a sad scarcity mentality when there's room for all. Everybody, shine your light. Goodness, we need that.
We really do. The other thing that I love, that I've heard you say before, and I think that is really a key component to living passionately, is that you accept that in our lives we will have good and we will have hard, and oftentimes at the same time.
For sure. Oh, I'm a huge believer. I have an entire podcast called The Good Hard Story. I am decidedly always talking about how things are good and hard. I have a bracelet that benefits our ministry that says good hard on it. I'm obsessed because I love this thought that nothing in our lives is one note, not just good or it's just hard. It's always both at the same time. Things, they're not mutually exclusive. They coexist. Every human life has both good things and hard things happening. And if we have eyes to see it, we recognize and don't miss them. Don't miss the good things, even in the hard times, and recognize there are hard times and there are still good things. And I just think it's so important for us to not just separate those and think of them only as one or the other.
I knew that was a big theme for you, and I really want our listeners to embrace that this year, because oftentimes I think as women, as you just talked about, this whole comparison thing that is very alive and well, sadly, in our world. But there is room for all of us to, sh and we're supposed to be sharing our light. But I think we get tripped up, especially in especially in the Christian world, where we think because we are Christ followers, we won't have hard times. And it's this false narrative that we've bought into. Oh, if your life is blessed and looks perfect, then you're doing it the right way. And if you're struggling, what did you do wrong? And reality is nothing,
Nothing.
nothing.
In fact, I was thinking the other day that very clearly on the Sermon on the Mount and many other places, the blessed ones are identified by Jesus as those who fill in the blank, poor in spirit, meekness, just a real hard time, no suffering.
Yeah.
And yet, prior to my stroke, the first 26 years of my life were quite easy, quite charmed, largely pain-free, with not a whole lot of big problems. Financial security, an intact, loving Christian home, went to the college I wanted, married my college sweetheart, had a perfect baby, on and on and on. And so I think I would have misidentified that as a very blessed life, that I saw blessings as all of the great things that God gave me, instead of recognizing right here, right now, my life is so incredibly blessed. Oh my goodness. And Jesus says it so. Blessed are all the things we are taught in our Western world to think may not be important. And the pinnacle of arriving to the good life, and maybe we're getting it all wrong. It is called the upside down kingdom of God, after all.
It is. And I just want our ladies to know that if they are suffering, at times we make poor decisions, right, that bring about consequences. But just because you've had something hard in your life, does not mean that you can't live with joy and cannot live with passion. And to focus on the fact that life can be hard, but life can also be great at the same time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Could not agree more.
Well, friend, is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience? Like, this is your chance to talk to these leaders and give them any love, advice, whatever you want to say.
Oh, sure. Well, I could always go on and on, but I won't. But I will tell your sweet listeners, I'm assuming probably largely mothers just trying to figure it out, how to live and raise kids and do the things. And I would say in this season, when at least for me, but probably universally for many mothers, as we look towards the end of the year and all that we have going on. In fact, in my own life, I do have a book launching in just a few days, and actually a coffee shop opening a few days after that, which only God could have made that timing happen that way. It's just, I refuse to think that it's anything but that. It's a
Yes.
gift from God. However, I could feel extremely overwhelmed right about now, very stressed out. And instead, I'm choosing to see the overwhelm in my life as the abundance in my life, that great things have been given and entrusted to me, and I want to steward them well. That it could be just overwhelming, just super stressful, but instead it's abundance, that it is all abundance. And I'm going to lean in to the abundance and wake up to the goodness of God in the land of the living, as it says in the Psalms. And I think so many times we live so opposite of that. We're so, I mean, there are different kinds of hardship, and overwhelm is a hardship. Yes, there is seasons of very significant suffering, near despair in our stories, and all are hard, all are needing to be reframed as not things that are just one note terrible, but that there are, in fact, good things within all of our hard things. And I talk so much about invisible wheelchairs, that some of us are in wheelchairs on the outside of our body, but all of us are in wheelchairs internally, that we all have things that are not okay in our stories, in our hearts. And no one may know in the grocery store, but all is not well. And we need care, and we need each other, as you were just saying. And Mom Co so beautifully grants that to mothers. And what a gift.
It is a gift and it's an honor to be a part of it. And it was really an honor to have you today. I want everybody to go out and buy Catherine's amazing new book.
Oh.
treasures in
Okay.
the dark, because I know it will be just chock full of really things that will minister to all of our hearts. And, Catherine, this year, as we are getting ready to explore what it means to live with wild hope, and we're going to be open to receive, we're going to build endurance and live passionately. I thank you for kicking off our season, because you are someone who does those things so well. And it's just an honor for you to be a friend of the MomCo. And so thank you for
Oh,
taking time to be here with me today.
what a blessing it's been to be here. I'm sitting here thinking, as you say, Treasures in the Dark is coming out next week. We should tell your listeners that it's actually devotional style, which for a young mother in particular is imperative. Nobody's got time to read a book, but maybe a short reflection style entry that takes about 3 minutes. We can do that. That's
Absolutely.
digestible and important to still nourish our souls, even if we don't have time to read Anya Karenina today, Like,
Absolutely.
let's get a little something in there. Maybe all you got's a moment for something quick and consumable, that gives you hope and you got to feed your soul.
I love that. And I know that this is going to be the perfect way to do that. So, again, thank you so much, friend, for being here. We really love and appreciate you.
Oh, goodness, what a blessing it is to be here. Thank you for having me, Sherry. Love y'all and always so grateful for how MomCo has intersected my story so powerfully. I need to sit down and make a list of all the MOPS groups I spoke at in those early days and how much those informed my speaking and thinking and writing to this day.
Amazing. Well, leaders, we know that your time is valuable, and we're so proud of you for investing in yourself by listening in to this episode today. We know that when you invest in mom, you change the world, and we believe in you, and we're cheering for you.